Well, greetings, everyone. I am Dina Patrice, and I'm a mastermind mentor and coach for entrepreneurs and independent experts. And I really want to welcome you to this interview series that I've created for successful professional women who are inspired to make a difference in the world with their natural gifts and talents. I started this series for successful professionals who struggle with balancing their time, their energy, and resources, and I inspire them to lead with love and leverage their time and talent to earn more, work less, and truly enjoy their life. I have the distinct honor and pleasure of speaking with my dear colleague and good friend, Ruby Blow. Welcome, Ruby.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I want to tell you a little bit about Ruby and how she is making a difference leveraging her time and her talents. We're going to spend some time really talking about what's important here when you're looking to really leverage your time and talent as successful women and successful professionals. Well, Ruby Blow is the owner of Development Counts, and Development Counts is the place to be for counselors' professional learning. Ruby's organization has been serving individuals, corporations, nonprofit organizations, and educational institutes since 2001. Her services include counselor supervision, consultation, and coaching for helping professionals. She is a licensed professional counselor, a board-certified coach, and an approved clinical supervisor, and she is popular and well-known for her blog, which provides some personal and professional development tips and strategies. And this is the part that I absolutely love, everyone, is that her purpose is to create the space and conditions for people to meet their professional potential. Whew. Well, Ruby.
Yes. I love the way that sounds when you say that. Wow. Well, that sounds really good.
Well, thank you again for carving out some time to join us today. And we'll just kind of jump right in. This is an open discussion. And will you share with us just a little bit about your journey and what brought you here to this point in your life today?
Mm-hmm. Great question. Well, thank you, Dina. I feel honored to be part of this interview series. And the question that you're asking is something I think about quite a lot. I guess what brought me here to this place in my career or in my life is multifold. But if I had to think about one event, one singular event, I have to go back to college, to undergrad. I was an undergraduate at Clemson University, majoring in psychology and minoring in creative writing. And I was one of those college students who really didn't give much thought to what I want to be when I grow up, so to speak. I just kind of was chugging along. And next thing you know, it was senior year. And I was thinking, what am I going to do after graduation? So I hastily started to apply for graduate programs in psychology just because that was my major. And I thought, well, I know I kind of want to go into that. And I did not get accepted into any program. And I was devastated, and I was tearful, and I was crying to my best friend and saying, oh, gosh, what am I going to do? And her mother had a friend who had gone to a program called the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. And she said, you know, they let everyone in, and it's kind of a make or break in the first four classes. If you do well, you stay in, and if you don't do well, then you have to go. And they probably have a program near her, and she should look into it. And that's what I did. I found what was then called the Georgia School of Professional Psychology. It's since been bought by Argosy University. And that's how I wound up going to that counseling program. And it was really my intended path. I almost wonder what would have happened if I had planned better. I don't know where I would have been, maybe somewhere equally as good. But it really happened because I was kind of a carefree college student living the college life, and wound up getting steered in the right direction by a good friend's mother. And then the rest is kind of history, so to speak.
Mm. Wow. So what's beautiful about that is how you mentioned you were just kind of open. You really were open. Mm-hmm. And the fact that what would have happened had you, you know, planned it out and kind of, in a sense, kind of forced it, like, let's do this.
Right.
So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. And I don't think I've ever told you that story before, have I?
No, I haven't heard that. So, yeah, thank you for just being vulnerable and open here.
Yep, that's how the magic happened. Yeah. But the thing that's interesting to me now when I look back on it, my minor was creative writing. And now I'm back at a place in my life where I'm writing more. And you mentioned the blog, and I'm really enjoying that. And so it's kind of a full circle to reflect back on that time. Because what I knew I really loved was writing, and now I'm incorporating that into what I do as a therapist and as a professional who supports other therapists and coaches. So the writing piece has kind of come back, and blogging to me is just really free-form creative writing.
Mm. Yeah, and so what I could hear is a couple of very key words that you mentioned, love, joy, mm-hmm. and creativity. Really bringing those in. So even though that was a part of your minor and now it's coming to fruition and blooming and blossoming,
right.
And
exactly.
For us to keep in mind that if even if we start out in one direction, that lo and behold, at some point, you know, it will come back around.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what have been your biggest challenges as a business owner?
Oh, wow. You know, I read something yesterday that really inspired me or just kind of cut to the heart of this question that you're asking. What's the biggest challenge? I think the biggest challenge is just getting it done. Like you have things you want to accomplish, people you want to serve, an office you want to open up, a website that needs to be built, people to serve, money to collect, insurance to bill, you know, continuing education to obtain or create, you know, business license to get. Like, there's always these things to do. And being is an important part of enjoying what you do. And so I think that balance between being, doing, and having is really critical for anyone who has a business or really is trying to accomplish anything, that space in between the doing so that you can feel full again and have a place to launch from so that your doing is more effective. I'm learning more and more that that's critically important so that you're not just busy doing a bunch of stuff, but really not accomplishing anything.
Mm. Yeah, so this is really key. Well, talking about leveraging your time and your talent. So will you break down for us what you mean by being? Because I've received that question quite a bit as a coach. What does that mean to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the words you used earlier was joy. It's important to me, you know, to laugh, to let joy in, to let life in, to let the people that matter most to me in, to have that space of being, just being in my life. Right? When you think about work is so, especially I think in American culture, work is so heavily part of our identity. And it's not that way everywhere, but here I think in particular it's that way. You know, what is it that you do is one of the first questions that we ask when we're getting to know people. And so to me, being is just kind of who you are, right? So the work that I do is a big representation of who I am, but it's not all of who I am. And so if I don't have some time to be, whether it's being on my own or being with other people or creating or reading or listening to music or dancing. Like, music is a big thing for me. It always has been. I'm always listening to music because it, to me, it's a way to directly connect with that state of being, a vibration of energy, of a feeling good. Or sometimes it's practicing Tai Chi, being in my body, those movements. So to me, being is about allowing space for those things that bring you joy and fulfillment so that as I launch into doing or the time that I'm setting aside for doing, that I have, you know, ideally more optimal energy where I can be efficient and not, you know, just kind of muddling through it because I'm not full enough, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. And you mentioned in being in this space of being how it frees up energy. Because
yes.
freeing up your energy is just as important, especially, you know, building, creating a business, having a business, like you said, doing all those things that you mentioned. And it takes
right.
energy. Yeah.
Yeah, and it can be all consuming. I mean, you know, what I'm talking about is something that I work on, you know, every day. It's not like a place that I've arrived and now being is just easy. I still work at, you know, I still work at
yes.
allowing for that space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so for some of our budding entrepreneurs or veteran entrepreneurs and independent experts, what would be maybe some tips just to leverage now your time? So we talked about the being, but what are some ways just to kind of leverage your time?
Mm-hmm. By kind of making the most of the time you've allotted to work on something. Is that what you mean?
Right. And also support mm-hmm. and how that plays a critical role.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so one of the things that I've been doing probably for the past 5 or 6 years, you know, it's interesting to be at a place in my life where a span of 5 or 6 years is something that I've been consistently working on in terms of change. When I reflect on it, I've actually been practicing in my field for about 19 years now, but I've been working for myself for probably 16 years full time. So that being said, the way that I manage my time and the way that I manage my support resources has changed. It's I do have a virtual assistant who helps me with certain tasks, which is important, and I have a person who helps manage my website. But for the most part, I'm a pretty self-contained unit. I have people that I partner with to come in and do training. I've used to, once upon a time, have people that come and worked for me and did counseling. But what I've learned is that I really don't want to manage other people. I like to just try to manage me and then sometimes partner with other people when I need support, like, you know, an accountant or an attorney or, like I said, a virtual assistant. So as a result, I have to really guard my schedule or my calendar. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, as we're sitting here talking, I'm looking at my wall calendar. It has every month of the year across one of the walls in my office, and it has mapped out the key dates throughout the year. It has my spa facial appointments every quarter. It's got my massage appointments every 2 weeks. It's got my e-blast that has to come out on Wednesdays. It's got, you know, conventions and conferences that are coming or going. Reminders about quarterly taxes, yikes, all of that stuff, right? And it shows me what my days are that I am in direct service to people and what are the days that I have as like a buffer day where I can do things like be on this interview with you or where I can deal with correspondence or where I can create content or where I can do my blog writing or if I need to schedule a doctor's appointment for myself, I can do it on this day. And so I have 2 days a week that I leave for that type of stuff, the admin work and then just things in life that need to show up. And then on the weekends, that's really free time and family time. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not a little bit scheduled in the sense of I still have clothes to wash and groceries to shop for and, you know, the things of living that sometimes happen on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about how I could hire that out. I'm like, I might need a grocery shopping service. That would be really cool. And I'd love to have someone come in to, you know, clean my house every couple weeks, you know. So I've been thinking about how I can leverage some of my time that way. But I guess the way that I'm understanding your question in terms of how it operates in my life, it's really about what I'm saying yes to and what I'm saying no to. And I think the more people have opportunities in work, the more tempted they are to say yes, yes, yes to all kinds of things, because it feels like a great opportunity, and maybe it is a great opportunity, but those opportunities really require time and energy and resources, and your time and energy and resources are typically already dedicated to something else. And so what people have a tendency to do is just add more, but never take anything off their plate. And so I'm really dedicated now to not adding more unless there's something that I'm ready to remove. And to me, that's critical to how can I be efficient with that energy that I'm storing and creating, is being clear on that boundary around not adding more unless I'm letting go of something.
Ooh, boy, if I could jump up and down right now, that is just gorgeous. That was jam-packed with lessons and insight and wisdom from setting boundaries, what to say yes to, what to say no to, knowing yourself and really honoring you and what's important to you. And I love what you said about when you're being in service. And when you're pulling back and setting time to fill yourself back up.
Dina, it's so critical. I mean, so many people who will listen to this are probably service providers in whatever they do. And you know that feeling of when you're just, you know, physically or emotionally or spiritually drained or tired, and now someone needs something from you, or you have made a commitment to give something to someone or to be of service to someone, and you're just tapping on empty, like you're trying to tap in, and there's nothing there. And for a lot of us, you could pull that off for a little bit, but eventually, your service is poor as a result. You lose customers. What you're doing isn't as effective for people. You feel bad. Other people feel bad for you. I mean, so it's critical that we take care of ourselves. Self-care is a term that people in my field, in the therapy field, use a lot. And I can tell you from experience, just my own and colleagues, who sometimes we're the worst at it because we're so focused on other people and their needs. And there's no awards, for that. But many of us are leading life as if we're going to be rewarded for giving all of ourselves away. And there just aren't any rewards for it, not intrinsically, not extrinsically.
Yeah, and it's not serving, absolutely.
Mm-mm.
To serve from a drained place, yes.
Right.
Ooh. Mm. So what role has mentors, coaches, guides by your side served you?
I always gravitated towards the wisdom of elders. So in my professional and personal life, I've always had older women in particular who I stay connected with, who keep tabs on me, who, are just part of my circle. And some of them are still, living, and some of them have passed, but I still call on their wisdom. I still think about them in my prayer and meditation. And those who are still with me, occasionally I reach out to them or they reach out to me. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, one of them, a woman named Dr. Joy, her first name is Joy, and she is a doctor, so I call her Dr. Joy, but it's a beautiful, I love saying it. She took me on a belated, dinner for my birthday, which was back in February, but we just got together 2 weeks ago, and I was, not at my best because I was sad about some losses of passings of people in my life, and then kind of globally the passing of Prince, and I was just really sad about that, Dina. And she invited me out to dinner, and I said to myself, I love this woman. She's amazing, and I need to spend time with the people that are here. So I met her for dinner, and it was just like being poured into with her love and her wisdom and her knowledge. And then she gave me a card, right? I mean, this is a belated birthday thing, and she still remembers to get me a card. And in the card is a check for $25 along with a nice note. And I just thought, is there anything more loved or loving than that, you know, that person like in your family, in your circle who to you, to them, you're always like you're the little one that they're giving like that $5 to or that $10 to in that card. And it was just the sweetest thing. And she said, you know, use this towards one of your mani-pedis or something. And it was just so kind. And I thought, thank goodness I didn't let a feeling of sadness keep me at home when I need to be embracing life and being, you know, among the living and with people that I care about. And so, so I say that to say that for me, that mentoring has been, you know, women who have gone, who are further along the journey than me, as well as some contemporaries, about what they provide is different. So what I really long for often is that open-hearted kind of flowing wisdom from elders. And then I always get also that feel from peers who are on their journey or similar journey as mine, and sharing resources and opportunities and conversation like we're having now. There's so many things that you've introduced me to, you know, even as long as, I guess, was it 10 years ago, things you introduced me to about money, psychology, and spirituality, and it was mind-blowing. I'm like, what? different things from different people, but I will have to say consistently my mentorship has been from older women, and it's both life and business kind of mentorship.
Huge. That's gorgeous. Thank you, Ruby, for reminding us of community and how important that is to align with those who are on the same path, and then those who have the wisdom to be able to tap into that.
Right. Like lately, I don't know if you've been hearing this phrase, Dina, but lately I've been hearing this phrase about your tribe, like knowing your tribe, finding your tribe, building your tribe. And that's how I've been thinking of it lately, as my tribe, my people.
Yes. Yes. And you have been doing that. You have a tribe of followers.
I do. I love my people.
So I have a few more questions. We want to get some more time in with you. Just a few more questions.
Okay.
What's one defining moment that absolutely rocked your world and changed everything for you?
I would have to say that there have been times in my life where I've had what I call a wake-up to your life moment. And one of them in particular was when I was 28 years old. I'm 42 now. And I was driving home, and it was raining, and another vehicle crossed the line and hit me on my driver's side door of my car. And, of course, my car went spinning around and went into a ditch, and the front end was kind of smashed in, and I was injured. I didn't even really know how seriously at the time, because, you know, a lot of adrenaline rushes forth in that kind of experience. And to make a long story short, I had some very serious injuries to my legs, to my knees in particular. And when that vehicle was, you know, assessed or totaled by the adjuster from the insurance company, the gentleman asked my father, "Did you say your daughter survived this accident?" And my dad said, "Yes, yeah, she's going to be fine." And I think about that, and it was definitely a turning point in terms of me thinking about my own mortality, thinking about what is it that I want in my life. I remember coming home from the hospital after that incident and thinking, wow, you know, there was a possibility that I would not have been coming back here. And then I started thinking about what is it in my life that I really want to do. Oh, and that reminds me, Dina, so it wasn't actually 16 years ago. It was really, I guess, 12 years ago that I started working for myself full-time. I always had a part-time practice, but I started going to my business for myself full-time after that incident, because one of the things that I realized I wanted to do was I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to build my practice. I wanted to serve other therapists. And I also wanted to basically not live life as if I was afraid. You know, sometimes people go through something traumatic and it causes them to go inward. And for me, I experienced that trauma and I decided, you know what, I've got another chance at life and I want to do all the things that maybe before I was afraid to do. And so one of them was kind of leaving the idea that we have of safety of working for someone else and working for myself. And then as a minor side note, that's also when I decided to stop relaxing my hair and to begin wearing my hair natural, which for professional black women is a big decision, or especially it was back at that time, not as many were doing it. And I remember thinking, I want to learn how to be in the world and be whatever it is I'm intended to be, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, service-wise, and see how that feels. And that's exactly what I did.
Oh, wow. Such courage. And what I heard really was the decision that you made and how that has shaped your life and what you wanted to feel and what you wanted to experience.
Yeah, the main thing is, and I'm so glad you said the word courage, because that's been a key word for me. Like, I literally painted the word courage on the door going from my leaving my kitchen into the garage to remind myself to have courage to go out and be whoever I am in the world, courage to go and drive again, courage to just live, right? So much of what we are afraid of when we think about people who are struggling with anxiety, a lot of it, the core fear is a fear that something bad is going to happen or a fear of death or something like that. And the reality is that we have no control over all of those things. What we have control over is how we face the world and how we choose to confront it and how we choose to be in the flow of it and how we choose to be in the being of it, like we talked about earlier. And so I decided I wanted to be courageous. Now, that doesn't mean I never feel afraid. Like, being courageous doesn't mean I'm never scared. It just means that I don't let fear make the decision.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. I really want to highlight and underscore and repeat that, that absolutely the fear really does not stop you. Yeah.
Right.
So then what keeps you inspired?
I have to say, I think other people, supporting other people in their journey. I've had a chance to teach and mentor and support so many other professionals. And I watch them doing, you know, things that they've wanted to do that they were afraid to do or didn't think they knew how to do. And I watch them and I'm inspired and I learn from them. And it's just an honor. I feel like, you know, even though I'm right now, I'm 42, I feel like I'm 20 years ahead in terms of, I think to myself, if these people that I've supported are continuing along the journey, then sometimes it feels like what I've done is enough, right? That doesn't mean I'm going to stop working, but it means that I have to continue to look at what's next for me and but look at having whatever is next actually replace something else, like I was talking about earlier. I think I'm on like a five-year cycle. Every 5 years I look at naturally what's going to be my next level of what I'm interested in and what's engaging for me. But the one thing that's consistent is celebrating those whose careers I supported. Either I taught them in graduate school or I supervised them towards licensure, or they've come to my trainings and they've earned a certification, or I did some consultation with them, or I've come to their organization to do team building. And I watch them go out and do, you know, amazing things as intended, and that feels very gratifying. That feels very fulfilling. So the work is, for me, really about what effect does it have on other people, and then that's where I get my kind of residual fulfillment.
Well, Ruby, you have shared so much with us. Your insight, your wisdom, your journey. You've been very vulnerable. You let us into your world and provided us with some strategies and some tips and ways of being in the world. And so how can we keep in touch with you? How can our listeners get in touch with you and stay in touch with you?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Dina. Thank you for asking. I think the best way to do that really is to sign up for my weekly e-blast. Right now, mostly it contains, you know, blog content where I'm talking about life and work and ethics and just trends and that sort of thing. And then I'll also start to include some video content, usually things that are supporting my profession, but they might be other topics that would be of interest. In that also, I kind of send announcements about trainings I'm doing and where I'm going to be. But that's probably the best way, is just to get on my list. And I actually have email correspondence after. I send out my weekly blast, and usually, you know, two or three people will, and different people will reply back and say, this is what this meant for me, or this is what I'm doing with it, or do you mind if I share this with this group I'm going to talk to? And so it's been an awesome way to stay connected. The thing that's really cool about it is I would say 50% of the people on my list are people I've actually met. So that's really cool. And then it's growing, right? So that's going to be harder to maintain. And but it allows me to kind of meet new people as well. So I really enjoy that. And so one of the things I'll be doing when we get off this call is I'll be writing my blog that'll go out tomorrow morning. And they can sign up at Development Counts. Yeah, that's my Tuesday task, is write the blog to go out on Wednesday. And then I send it to my virtual assistant, and then she kind of makes sure I you know, don't have any egregious errors. But it goes out every Wednesday. But it also can be found on my site on developmentcounts.com on the homepage. You can scroll down and see my previous blog posts. And then that's also where you can sign up for my weekly e-blast. So that's probably the best way.
Well, I want to encourage everyone to connect and get in touch with Ruby. Ruby, I want to thank you so much. It's kind of time to wrap up our conversation. Mm-hmm. And before we wrap up, though, for everyone that's listening, if you really love this interview and you want to learn more, you want to see more, hear more, then please connect with me, Dina Patrice. You can find me on Facebook at Dina Patrice, or visit my website, DinaPatrice.com, DinaPatrice.com. And if you're struggling to balance your time, your energy, and your resources to make a difference in the world with your unique gift, then I encourage you to get in touch with me so that we can work together to help you to lead with love and leverage your time and talent so that you can earn more, work less, truly enjoy your life, and make a difference. And for those who have stayed until the end, I have a gift for you. On the replay, if you go back to the replay page where you selected this particular link to listen, to the left-hand side, there is a button for a free chat session. So for everyone who listens, that free chat session is available to get in touch with me. And again, to get in touch with Ruby is at developmentcounts.com. So goodbye for now. Thank you, Ruby, and thank you, everyone, for joining and listening.
Thank you.